Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. And I am so excited. I'm an excitable kind of guy. And one of the things that really gets me excited is when I can come into studio and take a guy like Jensen Franklin and kick his spiritual can up and down the street. I just get so excited. This guy won't debate me, so I have to listen. I have to kick his can in absentia. Look, this is just, I just get thrills from just looking at this guy, looking at his dopey sermon, and just breaking it down with the scriptures and just showing what a fool this guy is, and metaphorically kicking his can from one end of the street to the other. I just love it. Well, Jensen, if you're listening, buddy, the number here is now. Let me go slow now. Let me go into sloth mode. Sloth, a sloth is an animal that is slow moving and slow talking. So let me go into sloth mode, because Jensen Franklin is slow of wit. So let me repeat the numbers here at the studio that he can call in, because I want Jensen Franklin to call in. My listeners want Jensen Franklin to call in. I'm sure that his church members want Jensen Franklin to call in. I'm sure his church leaders want him to call in. I'm sure that the members of the Evangelical Advisory Committee want him to call in. I'm sure President Trump wants him to call in. The number here for Mr. Jensen Franklin is area code 516-418. I can't even finish this without laughing. 5978. Okay, so there's the number, Jensen. Have someone write it down, and you can call in. Let them put the phone to your ear. Let them dial for you, because I'm sure Jensen Franklin doesn't know how to dial. He knows, this guy knows how to do absolutely nothing but get behind the sacred desk and lie and make up stuff. Well, this is broadcast number 231. 231, and of course, this is part number 15 of this great series that we're doing here, where we are breaking down Jensen Franklin's idiotic, moronic sermon, Jezebel's Children. And listen, I'm doing all of this because we want to answer the question, how spiritually and biblically retarded is Jensen Franklin? That's the question. That's what we want to know. How retarded is he? How spiritually retarded is the man? How biblically retarded he is? And thus far, we can say that the man is extremely retarded. So I want you to go down, saints. I want you to go to your outlines. Please go to your outlines. And go to page number 48. Now you're going to have to scroll down. And you should already do this even before the program comes on. You should be 10 minutes early. Once you know the program date and time, you should be there 10 minutes early with your outlines already. Because, listen, every time I send you a new batch of outlines, the new batch is attached to the old batch. So you're going to have to scroll down. And you need to go to page number 48. Page number 48, and the heading on top is gray. Gray. Yesterday was blue, today it's gray. So it's page number 48. This is broadcast number 231. This is part number 15. The broadcast date is January the 17th, 2020, and we're dealing with the third faulty interpretation pillar in Jensen Franklin's dopey sermon. And by the way, dear saints of God, this is part two of this particular pillar. And we're only going to devote two programs to pillar number three because, again, I think it's just going to be redundant. I just think it's going to be very redundant to keep beating this third pillar when it's coming down today. It's coming down today. After today's program, we only have two more pillars to go. Pillar number four, pillar number five. Again, Jensen, we are waiting for you to call. The number here is area code 516-418-5978. Maybe Jensen's secretary can call in. Maybe his son can call in. Maybe his brother Richie, who graduated from Bible college, can call in. You know, the story goes that when his older brother Richie graduated from Bible college, when his brother graduated and got his diploma and left school, Jensen, who was still in the same school, who hadn't graduated, who had about two more years to go, he left with his brother. That's how stupid Jensen Franklin is, not knowing that you only leave school when you graduate, not when your mother graduates, not when your father graduates, not when your older brother graduates. You get to leave. You get to leave kindergarten when you graduate from kindergarten. He left. Jensen Franklin left. So, my brothers and sisters, again, get ready. We're here on page number 48, and we're ready to go into the broadcast. But as you know, I have to. I know it's torture. I know that it pains you to hear this again, but we got to do it. We got to do it. We have to play Jensen Franklin's sermon. We have to. Because I don't want to be accused of claiming Jensen Franklin said things. Oh, you're putting words in his mouth. That's not what the man said. Well, I want you to hear what the man said. And then you're not going to have any excuse. You're not going to be able to lawyer him out of an, you know, with an excuse. So we're dealing with pillar number three, and basically pillar number three goes something like this. Franklin claims that the human spirit of Old Testament Jezebel has become a birthing demoness. That's what he claims. Franklin claims that Ahab's wife, the original Jezebel, the human Jezebel, that when she died, some way, somehow, she transitioned into the afterlife. And when she transitioned into the afterlife, some way, somehow, she became a demoness, a wicked spirit, a fallen angel. And that today, in this demonic life that she now leads, Jezebel is giving birth to little demons who some way, somehow, find their way to your church and my church. They find their way to your house, my house. And some way, somehow, we're feeding them, we're sheltering them, we're catering to them. I may, you know, unbeknown to me, I may have thrown them a birthday party. I don't know. They may have attended a pool party that I had. I don't know. You know, because again, this is what Jensen Franklin claims. Now, nobody's seen these little demons. No one's seen them. Not one person has seen them, has felt them. I've never seen one. I asked my wife yesterday, listen, you know, have you seen any little demons around the house? She said, what? I said, yeah, you know, Jensen Franklin says that we Christians, we can be entertaining demons unaware. I heard of entertaining angels unaware, but I never heard of entertaining demons unaware. Honey, have you been feeding little demons behind my back? Have you been buying them Pampers? Did you buy them? Are they up? Did you get the crib up in the attic? Did you go up there and get Madison's old crib? Are you hiding demons in the house somewhere? Do you have a special nursery in this house that I don't know about? And you know what she told me? Stop listening to those crazy sermons. Stop listening to Jensen. I said, listen, I'm just asking because I don't know. Because this is what Jensen Franklin claims. And my brothers and sisters, what he claims is so bizarre. It's so ridiculous. It's so far-fetched. It's so far from the realm of reality that today, Jensen Franklin, had he lived in the 1950s, they would have come and gotten him at his church, put a straitjacket on him, put him in a van, and would have rushed him and taken him to some asylum and tossed him into some rubber room. That's what they would have done to Jensen Franklin had he been living in the 1950s. So let's listen to Jensen Franklin again. He claims that Jezebel, some way, somehow, today, is giving birth to baby demons. She's a birthing demoness. Listen, if you're going to be a birthing demoness, it must mean, I mean, you must be going, she must be going to some demon disco, to some demon bar, to some demon nightclub. She must be picking up guys, you know, demons, and, you know, she must be promiscuous and must be having babies and little demon babies, getting demonically pregnant. She's a demon herself, giving birth to little baby demons. What demon hospital is this? What demon hospital is this where these little demons are born? Can somebody tell me? Well, again, some of you are saying, no, you're putting words into Jensen Franklin's mouth. No, I'm not. Here's the man himself. He's going to tell us that Jezebel, is giving birth to little demons and that you and I are entertaining them. You and I are feeding them. You and I are sheltering them. That's right. Listen to Jensen Franklin.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, I don't have time to read that. Verse 18, and the angel of the church in Thyatira write, Thyatira write these things, says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches, and it is a picture and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself compliments, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there's certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in, I promise this is going to hit you right where you live in. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead. Her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up.
Now, saints, you know that the book of Hebrews says that we have entertained angels unaware. We've entertained angels. Abraham entertained angels. Right? We know. Others in the Bible have entertained angels unaware. But never does the Bible say that believers entertain demons unaware, much less feed them, much less provide them shelter. The Bible says no such thing. But this is what Jensen Franklin claims. And that we're entertaining little baby demons. Here he is.
Wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead. Her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things. And if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab. Jezebel was known for sexual immorality, lust, but not just lust physically, but lust for power. And she will reproduce children, Jesus warned. Now, let me give you some characteristics of Jezebel in the Old Testament that are very much alive in our society and culture today. Number one.
All right, so Jesus says she will reproduce children. He said no such thing. There's no, he doesn't say that. He says Jesus says that. You read that letter to the church of Thyatira. Jesus doesn't say anything about Jezebel in that church reproducing children. He doesn't say that even the woman Jezebel is a demon and that she's having demon babies. He doesn't say that we're entertaining them, nor are we sheltering them, nor are we feeding them. This is all Jensen Franklin's deluded mind. Okay, so now let's go to today's outline. You've heard enough. We need to move on. Let's go to today's outline, and again, we're looking at the angelology branch. Angelology happens to be the doctrine of angels. This includes two offshoots, one being Satanology and the other one being demonology. Now, when I used to teach elemental theology to my church members, We only gave them the artwork showing these 10 branches. Then later on, when I expanded the basic teaching on angelology, I would ask them to draw themselves two additional offshoots coming out of angelology. And this is because when God originally made the company of angels, all angels were holy, all angels were submissive to God, all angels were called the sons of God, all angels in their perfect state, in their creative state, all angels fell under the branch of angelology. Then when the fall came, as a result of Satan's rebellion, then you have a branch called Satanology, devoted completely to Satan, the prince of all angels. And then you have another branch called Demonology, which describes all of the fallen angels in their ranks, in their capacities, in their powers. But they all came from one branch called angelology. All right. So angelology in elemental theology is that part of Christian theology devoted to what? Clarifying. We want to see, most people have questions. Most church members have, they have these questions. They need some things clarified. What are angels? They want to know. What are they? So angelology is that part of Christian theology, or that branch of Christian theology, that is devoted to clarifying and systematizing the belief concerning the existence, right? Angels exist. We know they exist because God created them. The nature, which is what we've been devoting our time to. That's why I put in bold the word nature. It's not there in the original text. I put the bold, and in my footnote, I told you I put bold lettering. But we're talking about the nature of angels. Well, I don't want to deal with their existence. We already know they exist. Everybody listening to this program knows that angels exist because they are Bible-believing Christians. So putting aside their existence, and the fact that they do exist, and that no one doubts that they exist, we want to focus on the nature of angels. What are angels? What is the constitution of angels? Are they like men? Do they possess a body? Do they possess a soul? Do they possess a spirit? Are they intelligent beings like man? Okay, so we want to look at the nature of angels. Some are good, right? Some angels are good. And some angels are bad. We also know that we want to answer the question, are there old angels? Do you have a grandpa kind of angel? And do you have a mother kind of angel and a baby angel? Is that the way this thing goes? What is their nature? What is the nature of angels? It would shock you to know that all angels have the same age, because they were all created at one time. Satan and the rest of the angels, they were all created at the same time. They're all the same age. There's no such thing as an elderly angel, a geriatric angel. There's no such thing as a middle-aged angel. There's no such thing as a young angel, and there's nothing like a baby angel. That doesn't exist. What is the nature? What is their rank? Some angels have been given more responsibility by God than others. Even in the satanic world, even where Satan rules among the angels, there's rank. He's called the prince of devils. That's what Satan is called, the prince of devils. Okay, so... And then, of course, the various functions of these supernatural beings called angels. We know that the term angel comes from the Greek word meaning messenger, and this name was given to the heavenly beings that were believed to be the intermediaries between God and man. And I'm quoting again, I'm quoting from Van Ness's Systematic Theology. Okay, so now, Let's look at point number two. And this is where today's broadcast comes in, because I want to show you, I need to show you that angels don't have babies. I need to show you that demons don't have babies. They don't have babies. Angels don't have babies because there's no male and female angels. We covered that yesterday. There's only male angels. They're always, whether the angel is a good angel or the angel is a fallen angel, either way you look at them, there are only male, no females, okay? So, in addition to that, there are no female angels giving birth. Why? Well, because first of all, angels don't procreate like human beings. And the Bible tells us this. Okay. Now, turn to the book of Hebrews. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. As one of the scriptures, it says, "But ye," speaking to believers, "you have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, not the earthly Jerusalem, but the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Now notice, it doesn't say to an innumerable race of angels, but to an innumerable company of angels. Angels are a company rather than a race. Angels are a company rather than a race. Let me read to you. And this, by the way, comes from a Pentecostal. And the reason, listen, I picked this quote from a Pentecostal theologian because Jensen Franklin claims to be Pentecostal. But he's not a Pentecostal. He's not even a crazy costal. Jensen Franklin is a retard costal. And I want to quote this Pentecostal theologian, Ernest S. Williams, who wrote a wonderful 3-volume systematic theology set. And we're reading out of volume 1 on page 98. And this is what he says about angels. He says, "When we speak of races of men, we mean people who have been begotten or perpetuated through the power of human reproduction." That's what a race is. You have a race of people. How do they multiply? Well, they multiply through the act of human reproduction. They multiply by the act of human copulation, or they multiply by the act of sexual union. Okay? So again, when we speak of races of men, we mean people who have been begotten and perpetuated through the power of human reproduction. Angels, says this wonderful scholar, angels are spoken of as a company to designate the fact that they are not thus brought into being or perpetuated. See, there's a difference between men and angels. We reproduce. We reproduce. The races of men are constantly reproducing, but not angels. Angels don't reproduce. They don't. This is why when Jensen Franklin says that Jezebel, as a fallen angel, as a demoness, as a wicked spirit, when he claims she's having babies, that's insanity. That's stupid talk. That's an ignoramus on parade. Angels do not reproduce. They are called a company. They have a fixed number. The same amount of angels that God created when he created them still exist today, because they don't diminish in number. They don't die. Angels don't die. And angels don't reproduce. So let's just say, for argument's sake, God made 10 million angels. Well, when he made 10 million angels, and a third of them rebelled against God, it means that 7 million stayed with God and 3 million went with the devil. Let's just put it that way. When the angels rebelled and God and there were a total of 10 million, 7 million stayed good, 3 million went bad, and that's it. You only have 10 million angels. Now, again, that's not the exact number because nobody knows the number, but whatever number God made, they still exist today. The same amount, because angels do not die. So their numbers never decrease. Like the human race, this is why we take a census in America every 10 years, because we want to know if the population, how many have we grown? Has the Hispanic population grown? Has the black population grown? We look at different segments of society to see, if they have grown in number or have they diminished. When you read the book of Numbers, when you read the fourth book of the Old Testament that was written by Moses, you know, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. At the beginning of Numbers, there is a census taken. And that first census in the first chapter of Numbers is compared to the second census taken at the end of the book of Numbers. And you can compare if this tribe went up or if this tribe went down. How many, listen, if you compared both senses, you can tell, oh yeah, this tribe increased in numbers and this tribe decreased in numbers, because we're talking about a race of men. Men are born and men die, but not angels. Angels are a company. Their number is fixed. You don't have more angels by angels having sex or by angelic copulation or by angelic reproduction. Listen, you only get that in Jewish fables. You only get that in New Age teaching, of which we are told to stay away because they turn us from the truth. So had Jensen Franklin sat in my elemental theology class for the first year, he would have understood that, and today he wouldn't be preaching the gibberish that he's preaching. Okay? Angels do not perpetuate. They're not reproducing themselves. They are not increasing in numbers. Okay? All right, now. Let's turn to Job. I'm going to give you a scripture here. We already looked at Hebrews 12:22, which says that it's an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable means no man knows the number. No human author knows the number. Only God knows the number because he brought them into existence, and the number is fixed. Like I said, if he made, as a hypothetical, 10 million angels when he created the whole group, 10 million angels exist today. All right, so let's go to the book of Job. Let's go to the book of Job. Job 38. Let's go there, and let's look at the scripture. It says in Job 38, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, this is a reference to angels. Angels are called stars. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Remember we talked about how the sons of God are always referred to in the masculine. The angels are always referred to the masculine. Well, in this one text, they're called morning stars and sons of God. Morning stars and sons of God are synonymous. It speaks to the same group of creatures we know, we call angels. Okay, so now, go all the way to the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Jump over to Revelation chapter 12. And here's a text. Here's a text I want you to consider for a moment. It says, In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." This is, of course, the church. "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." And we know who that dragon is, because Revelation 12:9 tells us that the dragon is none other than Satan or the devil. Okay? So a great dragon appeared, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and a crown, 7 crowns upon his head. And with his massive tail, he drew the third part of the stars of heaven. So this reference, this text is referring to the fall of one-third of the angels. One-third, 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 one-third. Now, here's the, see, we have to have our thinking caps on. If Satan wanted to increase his angelic army, because he's only got one-third, God's got two-thirds. Okay, so don't you think, my dear brothers and sisters, don't you think that Satan, having one-third of the angels, would have said to them, "Okay, you guys get busy and start having babies, because we have to increase our numbers so that we can balance the field of battle. God's got two-thirds, he's got 7 million angels, and I've got 3 million angels, and you guys better get busy and better start having babies so that at least we can get 10 million, we can outdo God, we can have 10, if you guys keep having babies, we can get 10 million demons to God's 7 million demons." See, now, why is it that demons are not increasing? Why is it that ever since the beginning, when a third left with the devil, a third left with Satan in the beginning, why is it that at the end of the book, Satan still has one-third? Why? Because they don't multiply. They don't multiply. He's always had one-third, and he will always have one-third. He will never have 50-50. He'll never have one-half. He'll never have 5/8. He'll never have 7/8. He'll always have one-third. Why? Because Satan would love to increase the number of demons, but they don't multiply, my dear saints of God. The beginning of the book shows that, and the end of the book, he still has one-third. 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 Again, this is a fairy tale that Jensen Franklin is peddling. And where did he get it from? Well, like I said to you before, the guy doesn't crack open any books. He doesn't read. Jensen Franklin, as I told you in previous broadcasts in this series, Jensen Franklin is a babbler. A babbler is a person who, like a crow, will pick up this seed and that seed over there and that other seed, and he'll make a salad. That's what Jensen Franklin does. He picks up something he heard over here, and he mixes it with something he heard over there, and that's how he spins his sermons, because he's not going based on the Bible. He's not looking at Scripture like we are today. Satan left with one-third of the angels, and by the end of the book, he still has one-third of the angels. His numbers have not increased because demons do not reproduce. They do not multiply. Plain and simple. Now, go with me. Now we want to look at bullet point number 2, mankind a race and not a company. Mankind is a race and not a company. Here's a scripture I want you to consider. Go to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness, and let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed man. He blessed them. He blessed the man and he blessed the woman. And said unto them, be fruitful and what? Multiply and what else? And replenish the earth. You see, man is a race. Man was designed by God to reproduce by means of human copulation. And when humans copulate, then we populate. And that's why there is a population explosion. Got it, saints? So again, only humans reproduce. And by the way, humans die. Isn't that the case? So, as I said, you look at my family 10 years ago, and if we were to take a census of my family 10 years ago, we had so many family members. But then if we were to take a census today, we would have to see, okay, how many people who were in our family the last census have died? And how many people who were not in our family in the last census but who are now in our family because of birth, how many were added? And so that's how you come up with a new census. Why? Because families grow and they decrease. And depending on the decade, you can be up in your numbers or you can be down in your numbers. That's what happens in the human race, but not among angels. Not among angels. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, and Adam knew his wife Eve. Again, that word to know is a euphemism, which means to have sexual intimacy. So Adam had sexual intimacy with his wife Eve, and she conceived, and she bare him Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again, she bare his brother Abel. Go to chapter 4. Verse 17, it says, and Cain knew his wife. Again, a euphemism. Cain had sexual intimacy with his wife. And she conceived. And she bore him Enoch. Verse 18, and unto Enoch was born Irad. And unto Irad, begot Mehujael. And Mehujael begot Methusael. And Methusael begot Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of one wife Adon, the name of the other wife Zillah. And Adon bore him Jabal, who was the father of such who dwell in tents and as such who have cattle. And his brother's name is Jubal, the father of all them that handle the harp and organ. And Zilpah, she also bore him Tubal-Cain, who's the instructor of every maker of brass and iron. And she also bore the sister of Tubal-Cain, Naamah. You see? So notice. Here's Cain's family line, and he's having kids, and their kids are having kids, and now the line of Cain is multiplying by means of human reproduction. Okay, let's go to Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, Eve, and she bore him another son and called his name Seth. Seth is the name of this one. Verse 26, and to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos. You see, my brothers and sisters, humans copulate and repopulate. That's what we do. But not angels. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in his likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and he blessed them and called their name Adam, and in that day in which they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and he called the name of his son Seth. and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot other sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam that he lived were 930 years, and he what? Died. So in the human race, one was taken out of the census. One died. One name has to be erased because that person no longer walks among us. You see, and in this whole genealogy, you have people who are giving birth to other people, and they're dying, and then their children are giving birth to other people, and those fathers get to die. So the population is going up and it's going down. Why? Because humans reproduce and humans die, and based on the year, you have to take an accurate census to know how many people are on the face of the earth. But you don't have to do that with angels, because angels and demons cannot multiply. They do not multiply. And there are all the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Okay. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 2. I want to go to the last scripture there. Hebrews chapter 2. And this is talking about Jesus and the incarnation. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For so much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," that's speaking of humans, "for so much as the children," meaning the sons of Adam and Eve, "are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise," referring to Jesus, "took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Now remember, through death, remember, Jesus came to deal with the sin crisis in humanity. Jesus did not come to deal with the sin crisis among the angels. No. He came to deal specifically with the – this is why when you study the doctrine of soteriology or the doctrine of salvation, you know that there is no redemption, there is no salvation afforded to Satan and demons. Satan and his demons are doomed forever. There is no salvation plan for them. But there is a salvation plan for the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. This is why Jesus took on their nature. Because the population, you see, demons and angels do not go up and down in their numbers. Again, I sound redundant, but their number is fixed. But Jesus came to deal with the population reductions among mankind, because the wages of sin is death. When a man dies, you take him off the rolls. This is why a couple of years ago when my mother-in-law passed away, we had to call Social Security, and we had to tell them you need to suspend sending her check because she died. Now, had we continued to collect her money while she was dead, that's a federal felony, and you're going to go to jail. You're supposed to inform the government when someone who is getting benefits dies. You're supposed to, why? Because they take them off the rolls. They're no longer with us. So Jesus came to deal with the sin penalty. The sin penalty is death. So it goes on to say, verse 15, "And to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the nature of the seed," or of the offspring, "of Abraham." So notice, when Jesus became incarnate, Jesus was not a new angel. He was not a new angel. You see how the number of angels has always been fixed? Because Jesus came into this world, but he was not an angelic being. He was a human being. Great is the mystery that God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus was the God-man, not the God-angel, but the God-man. So angels, the number of angels has been fixed since the day of their creation. It neither goes up and it neither goes down. Even when Jesus came into the world, Jehovah's Witnesses would have to say, well, it increased by one because God created Jesus and Jesus is an angel. But we don't subscribe to Jehovah's Witness demonic doctrines of demons teaching. We subscribe to the Bible. Now, I don't like to quote Catholics, but in this case I will, because the Catholics took three monastic vows. They're three monastic vows, you know, to be a monk, to go into isolation, to hide from the world, to live in seclusion, to just read the Bible and pray all day. That's what they did. Instead of, you see, monasticism is contrary to the Bible because God doesn't tell us to hide. He says, go and preach the gospel. You're to go into all, you're to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You're supposed to go outside your four walls and win people to Christ. That's true Christianity. Monasticism is not true Christianity because they just wanted to hide and save themselves and keep themselves unspotted from the world, and they just wanted to pray all day long and read the Bible all day long, which is a selfish form of Christianity. You're only caring about saving yourself, and you can care less about anybody else. Okay, so now the monks and the nuns of the Catholic and Orthodox churches are bound by three strict vows. One of them is the vow of poverty, the other one is the vow of chastity, and the other one is the vow of obedience. These three, dating from centuries ago, stemmed from the monks' belief that their lives should be as much like that of the angels as possible. So they said, listen, we want to be like the angels. Well, you can't be like the angels. But they wanted to be like the angels. They said, now remember, you're supposed to be Christians, but these Christians, they want to be Christians. They wanted to be like the angels, but you don't have the nature of angels. That's not your nature. You're not an angelic being. You're a human being. But these monks who were self-deluded, and these nuns who were self-deluded, who wanted to be holier than thou to the extreme, who just wanted to be no earthly good, but only heavenly minded, these people said, we want to be like the angels. Okay, so what did they do? It says, thus poverty is the rule, since angels own nothing and need nothing. Okay, so we're going to be like the angels. The angels don't own anything and they don't need anything. So we're going to live a life where we don't need much. Okay. As it is with chastity. For the Bible, and I put this in bold. Now, this is not bold in the original quote. You're not going to find it in bold in the book, but I put it in bold because it highlights what the Bible teaches. Okay. As is chastity, for the Bible says angels do not mate, marry, or reproduce. So this is why they took a vow of celibacy. We're not going to have any kids. In fact, we're not even going to have sex. We're going to abstain from sex. And we know all the problems that has caused. That crazy notion that you're not going to use what God gave you in this life. Because God said it's not good for man to be alone. You got to have a partner. That's the way God designed it. So in essence, these people went against nature. And they said, we're going to be like the angels. Well, you're not an angel. You're not. You're in the flesh. And you have a sinful nature. And you need to bring that sinful nature under control. And so God gives us a spouse, gives us a helpmate, gives us a partner so that we can balance those cravings out. But they said, no, we're going to suppress them. Can you imagine trying to suppress something that God gave you? God gives you something, but you're trying to make believe it doesn't exist. That causes a whole lot of problems. So they said, we're going to live a life of chastity. Since the Bible says angels do not mate, marry, or reproduce, that's the way we're going to live. Now, that's what they wanted to achieve. It was unachievable, but they're right in the fact that angels do not mate, angels do not marry, and angels do not reproduce. So, my brothers and sisters, let us turn to Matthew 22. Let's go to Matthew 22. The Gospel of Matthew, verse 22. Okay. This is what Jesus says. He was asked the question, okay, this guy's going to heaven. He's had seven wives. Okay, when he gets to heaven, which one of those wives does he get to? He's got to live with one. So which one will he have? And Jesus says, with none of them. This guy isn't going to live with any of the seven wives. Why? They said, why, Jesus? He says, because for in the resurrection, the resurrected saints neither marry. So when you get to heaven, if you were married here on earth, when you get to heaven, you're no longer married. They don't marry, nor are given in marriage. You can't fall. Listen, when you get to heaven, you can't fall in love with another saint up there and say, you know, Lord, can we get married? No, there's no marriage. There's no marriage in heaven. Marriage is done away with. But are as the angels of God in heaven. The angels of God in, remember, marriage, God said, you know, not only is it not good for man to be alone, but then God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. There's not going to be any need to be fruitful in heaven. There's not going to be any need to reproduce and replenish heaven. There's no need for that. That's why we go back, when we get to heaven, we are made to be just like the angels. They don't marry. There's no weddings in heaven. There's no angelic weddings. There's nobody throwing rice at angels. There's no wedding singer in heaven. No, not for the angels. Angels do not reproduce. Marriage in heaven will be irrelevant and immaterial. Why? Because resurrected saints will be like the angels who do not reproduce and who do not produce offspring. Again, this notion that Jensen Franklin has, that Jezebel is having babies, is demonic. Is of a demonic origin. Now, doesn't the devil have children? Yes. The devil does have children, but they're not demons. In fact, let's go here. Let's go to John 8:44. Let's go to John 8:44. John 8:44. Look what it says. Jesus, in speaking to the religious leaders who he is confronting, he says, you are of your father, the devil. Jesus is speaking to human beings. And he says, your father's the devil. Now, it's not that Satan came down and copulated with a woman and reproduced them. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you are spiritually the sons of the devil. So notice, Satan has spiritual children, but his spiritual children are not demons, but are human beings. Never do you find Satan having demon children. Never. Never. Here's another scripture. Go to 1 John, the first epistle of John. The first epistle of John, chapter 3. Look at John, 1 John 3. It says in 1 John 3:8, he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay? Look at verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifested, and also the children of the devil. This is how you can tell the two groups apart. Who is a child of God and who's a child of the devil? This is very easy to do. It's not because you're going to give me a spiritual DNA test to find out if I am the actual offspring of the devil with a woman. No, the devil can't have children. Angels don't reproduce. He's a fallen angel. But notice the Bible calls some people the sons of God and the children of God, and some people are called the sons of the devil or the children of the devil. So John says, in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who belonged to the wicked one. And we know that he belonged to the wicked one because he slew his brother. And why did he kill his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The world makes up the bulk of Satan's children. Satan's children, who are children of darkness, hate those children of God who are children of light. It's, again, my brothers and sisters, Satan has children, but they're not demons. No fallen angel can have children. This nonsense that Jensen Franklin is pushing is straight out of New Age teaching and is straight out of Jewish fables and Jewish myths. So much so that Jensen Franklin sounds a little bit like, you know, in the movie, the 1960 movie, Rosemary's Baby. In that movie, Satan is said to have come down and have impregnated Rosemary. And then 9 months later, she is said to have a child which is half human, half demon, half human, half Satan. That's the whole notion behind the Antichrist. And listen, my brothers and sisters, we can't push that. We can never say that the Antichrist happens to be the offspring of Satan and a woman. Why? Because Satan as an angel cannot reproduce. If we go down that line, if we conclude that Satan, that the Antichrist happens to be the offspring of the union between Satan and a woman, then we are following Jewish fables, Jewish myth, and New Age teaching. Well, my brothers and sisters, I hope this has convinced you that does away with pillar number 3. No. Jezebel is not a female demon because there are no female demons, much less Jezebel cannot be a female birthing demon because demons don't give birth. Demons don't copulate. Demons don't reproduce. So that does it for pillar number 3. I'll be back on Monday to give you the beginnings of pillar number 4. I love you much in Jesus, and I'm going to wait until Monday because some of you still have not reviewed lesson number, broadcast number 227 nor 228. The numbers are still as they were before, and as I encourage you to go to those two broadcasts, very few have, and I'm disappointed. So I'll be back Monday in hopes that you will go and check those two broadcasts out before I do the Monday broadcast. Love you much in Jesus. Have a great weekend. God bless you.